ask you to give your attention to our brother Gordon.
Good morning. Boy, it's a great-looking group, I tell you. I'm happy to be here this morning. I'd like to greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. As our brother Duane had made some comments this morning during our Sunday school that when the Lord would impress upon him those things that he was to present or to remember, you know, he took the time to sit down and write it. So, and I was thinking about that because I was getting busy doing things outside and I knew I was going to be preaching. And then all of a sudden the Lord gave me a couple items, the key things that I'd like to bring to you this morning. And I wrote them down real quick. So I did exactly what you say because I would have forgotten, you know. That's my humanness. The title of my sermon this day is The Days of the Son of Man. One of the things that got me to thinking about the day that we live in is there was, I think it was on one of the talk shows or whatever, that they were talking about climate change and how that had been, that drum has been beat for over 20-some years now or more, and there has been more information that has come out, and there's these cries of woe and destruction and everything with that, and the polar bears were going to drown, and all kinds of stuff, and the earth was going to heat up, and they found over those 20 years, the temperature, the mean temperature of the earth has not changed. And it's a falsehood. And so there's an apathy when somebody, that the ears go dull when somebody talk about that, you know, and so you have the advocates that continue to try to present that as, that theory as that is actually, you know, a true theory that we need to be concerned about. That's not my topic, but it is the topic that I have is apathy to some extent. Concerning the days of the Son of Man, who has not heard that Jesus Christ is going to return on earth? And who has not heard that it's going to be soon? We all have, haven't we? And I would have to say that I would have to believe that there's apathy and mistrust in that statement in the world. To the point that we see some of the things like our brother brings to us about there are those who are fighting against those truths. But my concern, my thoughts, my intent, those things that I believe the Lord had given me is my concern is for our young people and ourselves. Not to be discouraged and to fall into apathy and get involved with the things of the world because of it. Let's go to Luke in the 17th chapter. Here we find where the Pharisees was asking the Lord, when will the kingdom come? And you find that in the 20th verse, the Lord makes this statement, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And the Lord had answered a question that they fully didn't understand, in the sense that the Lord was telling them that the kingdom of God could reside within this temple, us, because of the Spirit that was being promised. But they were more concerned. They were wanting to know those teachings and those things that they had read about the coming of the Son of God and that kingdom that he was going to bring with him. So Christ continues on with his statements to them. The days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here, or see here, there. Go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lightningeth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. Meaning that you're not going to have to guess and wonder if the Son of God has returned. It's going to be very obvious. We're all going to know. But first must he suffer many things, speaking of himself. There's other things that are to come. And be rejected of this generation, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall be also in the days of the Son of Man. And this is coming to the point or to the crux of that thought that the Lord had given me, that here the Lord is using the example of the days of Noah, the many years that he was building the ark, following the commandments of the Lord in that thing, because of the pending thing that was going to come upon the children of men. And all the while he built the ark, he was preaching and teaching. And he was being persecuted for that silly thing that he was building. And it's no different in our lives. When we say we believe in Jesus Christ, we believe that he's going to be coming. And he's going to come that we might have life and live it here on earth. And there's many out there that will mock that thought. And try to discourage you. Try to persuade you that you're believing in some kind of falsehood. And as a young person, it can be very easy. Or even an older person. It doesn't really matter. You can be discouraged. And you can allow Satan to discourage you in that thought, that belief. That's why it's so important for us to avail ourselves on our knees, that we might have that testimony of Jesus Christ in our heart. Why did we hold up this little one this morning? Why did we do that? What hope do we have? We have the hope that that soul lives, what? Forever. It will never die. So we present it to the God who created it and asking him that his angels watch over them, that his spirit would prevail to guide them in their life. And we have that assurance and confidence. And is it done? No. As that child grows, it's incumbent upon the parents and us who have that faith to present a good testimony and a good life before it as an example and help it to succeed through prayer and diligence, all those things. We find value in that life. The world does not find value in life. They want to discard it. They want to throw it out. They want to end it if it isn't convenient, right? Apathy. I think about, and now I go back to where I like going back and looking at history. You guys all know that, right? But what the thing I enjoy about it is I try to put myself in that place. So I think about in the days of Judah, when the prophets were prophesying, okay? When Lehi was prophesying, when Lehi was given the vision that Jerusalem was going to be destroyed, and the mission that he was to gather his family out of there. Guess who else was prophesying at the same time? You know, Jeremiah. He was doing the same thing. And when you read in that third verse of that first chapter of 1 Nephi, you find he says there was many prophets that were talking about it. And what was happening? What was on the minds of the people? They were rejecting it. They had apathy. What the sad thing was is not too many years. All right. There were older ones that remember that when the northern kingdom had fallen. All right. And that God miraculously saved them from the Assyrians. In one day, it killed 185,000 of that army that they might be preserved. Yet they forgot. This is what I fear about our land, the land that was given to the seed of Joseph. But For our forefathers that came here, it was of no, it wasn't a surprise. They gave credit to who helped them establish a nation, and that was the belief in Christ. That God used them as an instrument that this nation would be a nation of freedom to serve God. As we read as the brother of Jared, that the waters of Noah came off of the lands. This land was identified as the promised land, the Americas, for a purpose, part of God's plan. Let's go to the book of Ezekiel. I want to go to, the 12th chapter. This is what was going on. This is what the prophets was facing at their time, okay? The 12th chapter of Ezekiel. And let's look at verse 27 and 28. Here it says, "Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, the vision that he seeth is for many days to come. And he prophesieth of the times that are far off. Therefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged any more. But the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord." All right? Many years they were told. Isaiah, many years before, 720 B.C., he was prophesying about these things that were going to come upon the children of Israel. You found that Jeremiah started after the fall of the northern kingdom, 627. You find Daniel was carried off in 605 as a young teenager because of Nebuchadnezzar, as Nebuchadnezzar came in and took over. But then you find in Ezekiel in 593 when he was preaching, he took over after Lehi left, right? Because it says here in the Book of Mormon that it was the first year of the reign, of that reign of King Zedekiah, that he received that vision. And that was, well, the reign started in 597 B.C. And it was soon after that that the Lord called Lehi out of there, and Ezekiel took over. And it was Ezekiel who was prophesying that until the day of 586. So you're just talking about, 10 years or something like that? Not even that? That was the time span that this is talking about, that these prophets were saying imminent doom is going to happen to Israel if you do not repent. And the Lord had enough of it, right? And he says, okay, you're going to see it. You're going to see it in your lifetime. Apathy. Israel had apathy concerning the things that the Lord was prophesying against wickedness. The Greek word apatheia, without feeling, from a pathos, emotion. Absence or suppression of passion, emotion, and excitement. If you're not excited, if you're not passionate about the things that you believe in concerning God, you're missing something. You're missing something. And it's that passion, it's that emotion to the extent of understanding the things of God, not as I feel. Okay, that's not what I'm talking about. Concerning the things that are right, the things that are true, the things that God Himself teaches through His Holy Word, by the power of the Holy Ghost, we can fall into that apathy. Oh, it's a long ways away. It's not going to happen in our time. I remember brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so saying, I believe I'm going to be here when the Lord comes. I heard it. It's not too long. I've heard that. I'm almost 63 years old. I've heard it for a long time. Brother Don's heard it for a long time. He's older than me. Our sister right there has heard it a long time, Meredith. We all have that hope. And there's nothing wrong with that hope. But I'm telling you, you're living in the day now, like in Israel's day. Okay, you're living in that time when the Lord is going to show. He's going to reveal himself. And it's going to come to pass. And you're seeing those things today if you open your eyes and look around. Jesus speaks of his day. Let's go to Matthew. In the 16th chapter. The 27th verse, it says, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works." Oh boy, that is a real bad word in many Christian beliefs. What do you mean? You're not saved by works, you're saved by grace. Well, what does the Lord saying here? That when he returns with his angels, he shall reward each one of us according to the things we have done in our life, our works. And that's a truth. And we can't deny it. So it's important for us. Right? Like that song that was being played before the service. I surrender all. I surrender all. There is absolutely nothing we can offer God other than our free agency, our free will to offer unto him through our obedience. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in the kingdom. So we believe that maybe John the Beloved was like one of the three Nephites who is preserved for that day when he does come. What does the Book of Mormon talk about? Let's go to the Book of Mormon. We go over there to, let's see here, let me get over there. Mormon in the first chapter. And let's go to verse 85. And these things, page 695, "And these things does the Spirit manifest unto me. Therefore I write unto you all. And for this cause I write unto you, that ye may know that ye must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, yea, every soul who belongs to the whole human family of Adam." We're going to stand before our God. "And ye must stand to be judged of your works." Nothing different than what Christ had said, is it? "Whether they be good or evil, and also that ye may believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, which ye shall have among you." You have that doctrine. You have that gospel. You know the tenets that Christ taught. Those basic tenets that we can find in the book of Hebrews, in the 6th chapter, you know. Let's go over there real quick. Here we find in Hebrew in the 10th, the 6th chapter. What did it say there at the very beginning? "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrines of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and the eternal judgment." All those things we believe. That through repentance and faith on Jesus Christ, we're baptized into that hope of eternal life. Through the laying on of the hands, the reception of the Holy Ghost, that we might have that signet within us, we become the temple here on earth of that spirit that would dwell within us. In the hopes of the resurrection of the dead, we've died to the things of the world, as Paul says, for the hope of eternal judgment, that we might be able to stand and claim that Jesus Christ, I am His. And Christ can say, this person is of me. And that beautiful grace that came through the blood of Jesus Christ will be in full bloom for the Lord, the Father, God, has come and come in my kingdom. Enter in. Oh, that's our hope. That's our hope. It's not in this life. What does God ask us to do? Sorry for that. I'm jumping up and down in my voice. I'll try to keep it on an even more even keel there. Let's go to Luke in the 9th chapter. What is the Lord looking for us to do? In the 9th chapter, verse 23, when he's speaking to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. That's a hard one with us in the flesh, isn't it? To deny ourselves. And take up his cross daily. Now, I don't know if you mark in your scriptures, but I do. Mark that, underline that. It's a daily thing. And follow me. Because of our flesh, it is a daily thing. The Lord knows that. And when it says that we might go on to perfection, as we read in the book of Romans in the first two verses there, that is part of that. Our daily walk. Our daily walk with God. That perfection is the Lord working in us to overcome those things that are nature to us in the flesh, that we might be identified as His child. It's not easy. It is a work, isn't it? We find ourselves doing things that we really don't want to do, and we go, why? And then when the Lord uses His Spirit to point out to us that, boy, you know, this is not of me. And when we allow it to do that, we're ashamed. We're no different than when we were a child and our parents said, don't do it, and we did it, and they caught us at it. They were disappointed and we were ashamed, I hope and pray. No different than our Father in heaven. But blessed be the name of our God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, knowing our weakness, knowing our frailties, He's given us the promise, like we can read in the book of Ether, that He may make those weak things become strong to us, that we will recognize it, that we will claim it and say, I give it to my God. That I might proclaim that it is not me, but it is God that has given me the strength to overcome it. And it'll be through His blood that I will not be accountable for that anymore, because I turned it over to Jesus Christ. And now in the 16th chapter, let's go to page 431, verses 237. And now, my beloved brethren, I desire that you should remember these things and that you should work out your salvation with fear and before God. And what he's trying to tell you is that there's somebody bigger than you, and that's God. and he has all power and authority to put you away forever. And you need to come to that realization that nothing being cute from us is going to change that. There's only one way that that will change, and that is submitting, just as it said, Hubert read it, to become as a child, wholly submissible to the one that was holding it. And that's God holding us. That's a likeness. That's a parable. And if God is not holding you, you are not supported in your life. And where is your hope? Yea, he has also said that the righteous shall sit down in his kingdom to go no more out, but their garments shall be made white through the blood of the Lamb. And now, my beloved brethren, I desire that you should remember these things, that ye should work out your salvation with fear before God, and that ye should no more deny the coming of Christ, that ye contend no more against the Holy Ghost. And that's what we do. When we do those things that we know that are not right, and that little spirit is saying, no, this is not right, and we contend with it. Well, you know, I can do a little bit. I can, I don't necessarily have to do that. We're contending with that spirit of God trying to tell us the right way. And you know what I'm talking about. But that you receive it and take upon you the name of Christ, so that ye humble yourselves even to the dust, and worship God in whatsoever place you may be in spirit and truth. And more importantly, 238, and that ye live in thanksgiving daily for the many mercies and the blessings which he doth bestow upon you. Yea, and I will exhort you, my brethren, that ye be watchful unto prayer continually, that ye may not be led away by the temptations of the devil. And how easy that is for us. That he may not overpower you, that you may not become his subjects at the last day. For behold, he rewardeth you no good. There'll be no reward other than a total separation from the God that you wanted to be with. The Lord used the parable of the fig tree. Again, I want there those key points is apathy. And our understanding, the role that we need to play in these last days, right? The things that God has asked us to do and to apply in our life. And here in Matthew in the 24th chapter. let's just read verses 32 through 39. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Now all those things that he was referring to was those things that he was foretelling that was to come. He foretold his death, he was foretelling the destruction of Jerusalem, and then he was foretelling that he was going to return someday. And that he was going to have his kingdom here on earth. And that's what the Pharisees was asking him about. They wanted to know about that. And God was, the Lord was trying to teach him, listen, you need to know about this. The Son of Man was going to suffer in the flesh that all men might be raised up to stand before me and my Father. To be judged of your works. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. And so he was kind of bringing it all together, saying that these things were going to happen. And I have taught and I have preached about it, like in the book of Luke in the 21st chapter. I've tried to portray and help you to understand that we're really in those kind of days that, in the days that Ezekiel, that's why I read that, when the Lord was going to, it is no longer far off. You're going to see those things that were prophesied happening. Boom, boom, boom. Just like Jerusalem saw, those that were living there, and it happened quickly. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. It's no different than when he was on the cross. What did he say? The very last things. He said, it's finished. That part of the role that he played here on earth was finished. But it was not finished concerning the words that he had said that he would fulfill. Because we read in the Book of Mormon when he went and he visited them here in the Americas, what did he say? You know, the Father has asked me to come here and teach you these things, and I have to go because there's others that the Father wants me to go in other places. So his role continued according to the will of the Father to fulfill all those things that was to come to pass. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. I take that literally. Even Christ doesn't know when the Father's going to say, go. It is time. That's my belief. But as the days of Noah, that's where I started off, as the days of Noah, were so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of Noah, they were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered in the ark and that big door closed and was sealed and the rain started. And the world knew that what Noah had said at that time was true. It'll be the same way, but in a more spectacular way. So in the 44th verse, here, let me see. The 44th verse. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. So I hope that what I have said today might inspire you to think about your faith and the power of God in using that faith for good in your life and the good of others. Do not be apathetic concerning the things that the world will teach and try to put you down. And hope and pray that that passion will be in your heart. When you're excited about something, don't you want to tell somebody? You do. Guess what I heard? Guess what I just learned? You share it with your friends, right? It should be the same thing as the Spirit of God is working in you. Guess what God helped me to understand today? What a great thing. And share it. Have that passion, that desire. Allow the Spirit of God to work in your life. And all the tools that He's given, the Word of God and the songs and those things, use them to your advantage. So that you're not apathetic to the day that you live in. Because Jesus Christ will return. And it'll be in a time when you're not expecting it. But you'll be ready. May God bless you in those things.